our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon.
Hello, everyone. Sunday night is here again, and we are excited about Jesus. Man, oh man, if you're not off the couch, if you're not electrified by the prod of the Holy Ghost in this season we're in, if you don't realize the siren, you know, the warning signs, sirens going off, hey, the building's burning down, get up and get a bucket of water. If you don't do that, if you're not hearing that, then I want you to hear it tonight, because these are times of refreshing, these are times of refilling, and these are times of being furnished. I want to talk about that a little bit tonight on this Sunday night broadcast. Thank you for coming alongside of me and walking just a few moments together into the scriptures and into the thoughts that are on my heart tonight. I want to share with you. I want to bless you on this Sunday night. Sunday night traditionally was started in the to have church service because of the workers. Oh, I would say 100 and some years ago, when they worked 7 days a week, or at least on Sunday, and they wanted to have those that worked on Sunday to have a Sunday night service to go to. Then it became a tradition in my background, the Pentecostal background. We had Sunday morning and Sunday night. And for me, Sunday nights continued. I never missed a Sunday night service up until, well, the early 2000s is when we had our last one. Now, I have a Sunday night service occasionally in special meetings, but most of the churches are not occupied on Sunday night. So that's why I'm here. Want to capture a little bit of that Sunday night blessing. Want to capture a little bit of that time with the Lord when we are talking about the good things of the Lord. So welcome and thank you. If you're new to our channel, subscribe to the internet or to the YouTube, and then I guess you'd be friends on Facebook or something like that. I'm a real expert on some of these things, but join us. And when we come on every week, we'd love to have you on board and a part of our fellowship time. Amen. And if you share this, they tell me it's a big deal on the internet. Tell somebody about the broadcast. Matter of fact, call somebody up right now. We'll be on for a while talking about these good things of God. I want to talk tonight about refreshed, refilled, and furnished. Let's talk about refreshed, first of all. It's hot. It's a summer day. You've been baling hay. Now, some of you haven't done that, but those who have are feeling the pain as I talk about it. I remember bucking bales for my dad, and the end of this, the sides of those bales, they were the way they were cut and packaged, had little sharp ends of that straw. And by the end of the day, your arms were raw because you grabbed that thing and you kicked it up with your elbows. I'm telling you, halfway through the morning, we took a break and got some cold drink or cold water or cold rag and sat in the shade and had a time of refreshing. We were there long enough to feel the energy come back into our spirit, into our bodies, wipe our brow. Now, I'm talking about I'm talking about being a little younger. You probably imagine that already. But those times of refreshing are still in my memory. When you splash the cold water in your face from a stream, when you're walking in a, you know, in the meadow or in the forest, or when you jump into the pond, you know, to the lake on a summer day. I lived in Sacramento as a teenager. Dad had a church there, and I worked at a restaurant. I mean, I was a busboy. And I had a 51 Ford convertible, and Sacramento could get really hot in the summer. I remember driving my convertible top down to the riverbank. There was a place on the river where the kids met, and one big large tree hung over the river with a rope on it. And I'm telling you, when you grab that rope and took off into the atmosphere and let go, you were plunged into the cold, crisp water of that river, Sacramento River. That's refreshing. Now, let's talk about some Holy Ghost prayer meetings. Let's talk about coming to the church service or to a prayer meeting or to a group of spiritual people where you're gathered in His name. Let's talk about that when you walk into that atmosphere and prayer is offered and worship is offered and someone's talking about the good things of God, the Word of God, and you leave that place and you feel different. Something's happened in your step. You feel like you can go win another battle, go another week or two, or, you know, jump back into the contest. That's called refreshing. Now, there's another level of that where you've been actually in a depression, where your mind has been taken over by fear, or perhaps in the season we're in. I'm telling you, there's a spirit working on the church. There's a spirit working on the people of the church to produce fear. Now, I'm well aware of the danger of this virus that's here. I'm well aware of that. I mean, I'm not ignoring the fact that there's serious danger. But I'm telling you also that God has not changed His mind about the 91st Psalm, "He that dwelleth in the secret place." So let's remember the secret place. Let's remember the protection of the Lord. Let's not fear. I don't know how many times exactly. It's got to be several dozens of times, if not multiplied more, where God says, "Don't fear," in the Scriptures. "Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, I have come to help you," all those things. When the angel shows up, "Fear not, I've got a message." Something happens in the soul, in the psychic, in the, you know, the emotions of the human when change happens, when we lose our grip of control. We can't control this, so, you know, fear comes. And then fear sells. The media knows that. That's why they give you, it's not good news they give you, it's bad news. All the bad news that happens, tune in at 6 o'clock and you'll get the 6 o'clock bad news. How many killings and how many died and how much war is going on and how close we are to famine and there's the money is going to go away and the stock market's going to fall and the birds are going to fall out of the sky. It sells. Something in the nature of man and, you know, mankind, they like to scare themselves. That's why we ride those scary rides and go to scary movies. There's something we like to be filled with that. Well, that's not God's righteousness, is it? That's not God's redemptive spirit. He's redeemed us out of that. He said, I've called you. Scripture says, "I've called you out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son," which is light. So, this is the time of refreshing. And I tell you, I want you to put your thinker on now, and I want you to remember laying on the floor in a prayer meeting and letting the tears of God's refreshing spirit flow down your, you know, down your temples. You're laying down here, where it goes into your ears and fills your ears with tears. And you lay there and rejoice and weep and enjoy a time of refreshing. Now, you may not be there now, but I want you to remember it. If you've never been there, I want you to step into it now and receive the Holy Spirit's cool breeze, the Holy Spirit's assurance that He has this thing in control. Amen. Amen. I would say a great picture in maybe a real serious situation would be the parable or the story of the Good Samaritan. This fella has gotten beat up and robbed. He's laying beside the road, probably naked or half naked, and all of his money's gone. And the Good Samaritan takes him to the inn and refreshes him and binds his wounds up. They bring him a comfort and give him a place to be restored. That is a picture of God's kingdom and God's love. Wow. So let's set our spirit this week. This is Sunday night. Let's set our spirit on the on targeting a refreshing experience this week. Amen. Okay. So you're going to get your car lubed, oil change, and you're going to have it, you know, greased. This is man talk right now. What do? Well, you sit on your couch and wait for it to happen. No, you set an appointment or you get into it and you go to where the mechanic can do it for you. You don't just wish it. You don't just hope it happens. You get proactive. You get in there and you drive down to the, well, oil can Henry's or wherever you go. And you say, I want this to take place. Well, I want you to speak that same thing. I want you to confess that same thing. I want you to declare this is a week of refreshing. I want you to make an appointment with God. I want you to have some prayer time, some refreshing time, some worship time. And you watch. By the end of this week, you're going to have some experience with visitation from the Holy Ghost in your private time. The night times are not going to be just sleeping. You're going to have encounters in your dreams. The angels of the Lord are already in your room. You might as well enjoy them. I know. Whenever I talk about angels, there's a fair amount of the Christians that think I'm spacing out. What does it mean when it says the angels of the Lord encamp around those who put their trust in Him? Is that just fantasy? No, it's description of everyday life in the life and the walk of a believer. That's you and I. Okay. Refill. There's a section in the book of Acts where the disciples had had the Acts 2 experience. The original baptism in the Holy Ghost, upper room. They were all filled with the power of God. You know the story. If you don't, Acts 2:4. They spoke in other tongues. The light of God, the fire of God came and set on each tongues of fire came and set on. A mighty sound came in. A wind blew through. Wow, pretty exciting. Well, wasn't long after that, when they'd gone out and ministered for a season, had some resistance and had some battles and won some battles, that they came back to the Lord and they said this, Lord, we need another blast of the Holy Ghost. It's a time of refreshing. Now, the scripture says there would be times of refreshing, didn't he? And then he said there would be times in this book of Acts illustration of refilling. There used to be a statement or a confession in Pentecost. I haven't heard it for a long time. I want to be refilled. Well, I know what that means, but sometimes it's got a wrong connotation. It's almost like, well, you leaked out. No, it didn't leak out, but there's a refreshing refilling. Lord, refill me with vision. Fill me up again with hope. Fill me up again, Lord, with courage and all the things I need to overcome. I've kind of let it sink, or I've kind of let it grow stale. Fill me again. So I think refilling is probably a little more intense than refreshing. I need to have my vessel full of oil. Think about the 10 virgins that didn't have oil in their lamps. And when the bridegroom came, their lamp went out and they had to go try to get oil and they couldn't get any. Well, keep your lamp full of oil. Let the refilling come again and again, again and again. So, preacher, how do I get refilled? How do I get refilled? I'll tell you how I get refilled. I speak in tongues every day. Tongue talking, Holy Ghost language, glossolalia, heavenly language, other tongues, is more than a signet for Pentecost. It's more than a gift that we give when we want an interpretation. We are speaking out of our spirit. To us in our mind, it's mysteries, but to God, it's a prayer from the spirit that's in us. And our spirit that's blended and birthed and married and united and welded with the Holy Ghost. That language does more for us than we can imagine until God reveals it to us. And when he reveals that, you realize this is the greatest key for refilling and refreshing than you could ever get anywhere else. This is why we encourage you, after you've been saved, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize, theologically and scripturally, you don't get saved without the Holy Spirit. So, how do you separate the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, from Jesus and the Holy Ghost and God? You can't. When you receive Christ, you receive the Father and you receive the Spirit. But there is a baptism experience that is that overflowing experience when the Holy Spirit becomes in charge. For instance, it becomes in charge of your mouth. It said that the tongue is like the horse's, the bridle in the horse is like controlling the tongue. And the scripture says, if you can control your tongue, you control your whole world, your whole life. So what happens when we speak in other tongues? We have yielded the tongue and our language and our words to the spirit that is in us, and the spirit that we are. We are a spirit. And we have been born again and new creatures, and that new creature has a voice. That new creature has language. There's something else that's very exciting and very much important to know, is that it's the language of unification. It unifies us with the body of Christ. Well, I realize it. Sometimes it divides us because people don't believe it. But look at what happened when the Tower of Babel, when God divided the language. They then became confused, nations separated, people went in different directions. But when God came back through the form of the Holy Ghost, Jesus returned to the form of the Holy Ghost, he gave us a language. I've been around the world several times, and everywhere I hear heavenly language, it's got the same lint and cadence and language voices, not the same words. But you know it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know it's the Holy Ghost. So, refreshed, refilled. And I just love this. This last one is furnished. Furnished unto every good work. What's that? What in the world does that mean? Furnished unto every good work. Well, there is a work to do. There is a message to give. And there is a life to live and a walk that God has given us. And he said he would furnish us for that job. I have had a bunch of different types of jobs. I have been a preacher since I was a teenager, but sometimes they didn't want to pay me much, so I had to work to eat, you know. And tools, the tool for the job. I'm going to dig a ditch. I didn't bring a paintbrush. If I was going to paint a house, I didn't bring a hammer. I brought a paintbrush. If I was going to build something, I brought a hammer. The tool for every job has been given by the Holy Spirit. And when God calls you, when God calls you into a job, he will provide you and furnish you with every good thing, with every good thing that God desires you to have. Okay. Well, I've been shouting and hooting and hollering, but I tell you this. When the enemy comes in, put your comma or your punctuation there. When the enemy comes in, ready? Like a flood, the Lord will rise up. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will rise up. Now, some people read that. When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Lord rises up. Now, I like to read it. When the enemy comes in, comma, you know, punctuation mark, like a flood, the Lord comes. So, this furnished thing, what am I furnished with? I'm furnished, first of all, with total, absolute, never taken back, never changed. I'm furnished with forgiveness and righteousness in place of judgment. I have been freed from the curse of the law by God's blood through Jesus Christ. I am forever secure in him. Well, I realize that it gets a little nervous when we get too tight and too secure on the grace side. We make people nervous. It's almost like job security. I mean, if you get too saved, what are we going to do? We won't get you, you know, at the altar. I mean, you're just going to go off somewhere. No, come on. I'm being a little ridiculous there for emphasis, but I want you to, I want you to understand this, that when you get saved, the original super glue was created by God. When he said, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be zodzod, saved, delivered, healed, made whole. He that believeth in me has everlasting life until you make a mistake, and then I'm going to snatch it back from you, and you're doomed forever. No. I have been furnished with eternal life. I have been furnished with forgiveness. I have been furnished with the life of Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, I wasn't raised that way. Believe me, I wasn't raised that way. I was raised in a traditional Pentecostal mentality where it was, you know, we just backslid. That was, you know, if you didn't backslide, you couldn't get saved again. Couldn't come to the altar. You couldn't get involved in the, you know, in the evangelist altar call. Well, I know, maybe a little overboard in the emphasis, but it seemed like we had to get saved again and again and again. Well, we did sin. I don't want to shake you up and have you lose your respect for me, but I have sinned a couple times since I confessed Christ at the age of 7. But John said, don't do it. But then he had a little caveat there. He said, but if you do, I love this, but if you do, you've got Jesus Christ the righteous, who will forgive you and redeem you from all your sins and give you righteousness. So, well, I'm jumping all over the map tonight. I guess this is Sunday night, and I'm feeling the Sunday night anointing. Glory to God. So, be refreshed, be refilled, and remember you are furnished with every good work, unto every good work. You're furnished unto every good work. Wow. Saw a sign on a little trailer the other day behind a pickup. Handyman. You know, Joe the handyman. And then he did everything, man. He could fix your sink and mow your lawn, paint your house, and walk your dog. I mean, he was all over the map. Well, that's you. That's me. Furnished unto every good work. That's something. Well, I love the word. I love the spirit. And I love you all because you are my family, body of Christ. We walk together in this thing. I'm telling you that. Lord, I just release this spirit of refreshing, refilling, and the Holy Spirit's reminding us, Lord, of our being furnished unto every good work. Lord, let this week be especially sensitive toward these three things. We're under pressure. We're under attack. There's a lot of bad stuff happening, and there's a lot of fear involved, and it's a dangerous world out there, but we walk by faith, and we believe the 91st Psalm, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I believe there's a protection over us that we can and should and must confess every day. So I confess it again. I declare the protection of the Lord over these that are with me. I declare the anointing of the Lord in our spirit, soul, and mind, body. I declare the visions of the Lord to be refreshed. I declare the angelic sensitivity of the angels in our life to be refreshed. Lord, let the experience of night visions come in a new way to those who are with me now, and let them have those night visions, which we call dreams, but it's actually the Holy Spirit's visitation into your night adventures. Amen. I meet people who say, well, I never dream. Well, wake up and dream. Glory to God. Thank you for joining me tonight on this Sunday night. I still believe that we're going to stay with this for a season as God leads us, and see how this fall begins to develop. It's a wonderful thing to be alive in God and to understand that there is a purpose in every day we live. And I pray for you today that the purposes of God will be very, very obvious and clear. And maybe some of you need to get around a good prophet that can reveal some of those things. That's one of the purposes of having a prophetic word or a prophetic ministry. Somebody reminds you of what you already know. So I stir that up in your spirit tonight in Jesus' name. Until tomorrow morning, Monday's coming. It's going to be a super week. I'm telling you, this is going to be a great week. Some of you are going to have increase in finances. Some of you are going to have breakthroughs in relationship. Some of you are going to have health issues gone. God's going to heal and restore you. Some of you are going to have things happen to you that have never happened before. I encourage you. Let the Word of God work every day this week. Until Monday morning, early, bright and early, we'll see you then. I love being a part of your life. Thank you for journeying with me in these days. God bless.
Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.